But where we're holding is that we said over the tshuva of the Rashba a few times that the Rashba's tshuva was dealing with the case of a Yerusha, that a wealthy man married off his daughter to a man, and his daughter died right away. They had no kids, and the man wanted the Yerusha midin Torah, and legally apparently at that time the money would have gone back to the father. So the Rashba goes on a very long tshuva. We learned it inside. The Rashba basically says, yeah, how could you do such a thing? The Torah says you go by Yerushas Habonais, and if you're going to start doing that, you may as well send all your kids to study the law, and it doesn't make sense. You're not going to learn Baba Kama, Mitzia, Baba Basra. And therefore, Zok the Rashba, Avad, you have to follow the Din Torah. So the way we said over the Rashba was based, if you look on the last page of the pamphlet, was based on the way the Ramah brings down this Tshuva Sarashba. The way the Ramah brings down the Tshuva Sarashba, which is in the back of the end of the big pamphlet, which where this is the last, I think we pretty much covered everything in this pamphlet now. So the way the Rashba says it, the way the Ramah brings down the Rashba, the loya in the wide line there in the Ramah, he says, the loya amrinan. Dina de machusa dina el bedavar sheish by hanala melech oishu le takanas bnei amedina. Avaloishi adunu bedine goyim. So the Rashba seems to be saying that the way the Ramah is understanding the Rashba is that it's not takanas bnei amedina to have that the girls yarshin like the boys. It's just that's the way they felt is the yashrus. They never had a havamina not like that, so they just made the halacha like that. It wasn't a takana to help people specifically. Nothing would happen to the medina if they said only banim would be yarshin and not banis. It's just this is the way they feel is the yashrus, and therefore says the Rashba that's not takanas bnei medina specifically.
And then maybe
by the time of the Ramah, apparently it didn't really matter. So, therefore, it wasn't Takanas B'nai Medina specifically. It was the Pshat, that's the Yashus. And therefore, there was nothing to, you don't have to follow that. Lamaisa, we spoke out. There's another Indian also, if the Melech is Makbid or not Makbid, and the assumption is the Melech here is not Makbid. On in your own little vinkel over there, following your cultural, your religious halachas, dinim, they wouldn't mind that if it's amongst yourselves.
So
fine.
The ma'isa is designed to combat a specific problem. It's not
address a specific problem. That seems like what he's saying. It's not Takanas B'nai Medina, this thing. That's the way they want to do it, but it's not specifically Takanas B'nai Medina. So that's what I was saying. L'mashal, if they have a halacha that fire, if you burn down someone's stuff, you're chayiv. In halacha, if I burn down your stuff and it's tamun be'esh, it's potter. If it's not visible from the outside, it's inside, you can't see it, and you burn it down, it's a gzeir, it's a kasav of tamun be'esh, it's potter. So if the pshat is people, there was a rampant, magefa, everyone burning down people's stuff, and in order to stop this, they had to make the halacha, the law that way, maybe that you would have to follow that. But otherwise, if it's...
You probably would if there wasn't a law like that.
Well, why would you?
Anyone who wants to get back at someone can just burn this up.
Okay.
And then there would be a law.
That's right.
Then it is. But I don't know if that's there's such. Now, the mice up.
Anybody who steals from somebody has to pay back 10 times the amount they stole.
Right. Right. Exactly. Now here we had another. There's another case in the Ramah that I was trying to figure out how it fits into this category, and that is in Hilchas Aveda. If you lose something, or it's stolen from you. We pask in the halacha is that once the owner is miyayesh, once he gives up total hope of ever getting it back, it belongs to whoever finds it. So let's say I lose something in a big stadium. What? By Gneva, it's Yush and Shin Rishos. And by Aveda, it's Stam Yush. So let's say I lose something in a big stadium. Okay, and whatever, or I lose it, right, with Rav Yisrael, or something like that, I lose something. So I'm Yayish. Now, or let's say, there's a Zutoy Shel Yam. Zutoy Shel Yam, the halacha is that let's say something gets caught up in a river, in a big storm, let's say. So you're in a big storm, and your stuff gets blown all over, and there's stuff all over the place. Okay, from this storm. So the halacha is zuto shayam. It's assumed yush. Okay, now a guy finds a big or a stolen item. Let's say someone steals something, and then the owner is miyayish. He's never going to get it back, and it's sold and sold again. So halachically, if you get a hold of the item and you recognize it, it doesn't make a difference. You recognize this must have been stolen from another guy. right? And in the meanwhile, ends up back in Yerushus, you're allowed to keep it halachically. But the law is, in some places, is that they don't go with Yush. If it's a stolen item, it's a stolen item, and that's it. You have to give it back to the owner if it's recognizable that it's his, even if the owner was Miyayish. Right? Am I correct about that?
Halacha, you can never acquire title to stolen goods. Except for the person from whom it was.
Legally, you mean?
Legally.
Right. All right. So halachically, it's not like that. Halachically, if something's stolen from someone and they're Miyayish, and then it switches ownership from the Ganav's Rishos to someone else's Rishos, you own it. So what happens now? You know, you buy something in some sort of a thrift shop, and then your neighbor says...
He fell off the back of a truck.
What?
He fell off the back of a truck, right. That kind of stuff.
Right.
That was really stolen, and now they're trying to sell you stolen goods in a parking lot.
Yeah, and you get it, Bekitzer. Now, your neighbor comes to you and says, that's mine.
Regular terms.
So now, halachically, you don't have to give it back, and legally you do. So I would have thought, B'chiyai Gavna, that you follow the Din Torah. Lamaisa, the Ramah paskins in Hilchos Aveda that if you pick something off of a zuto shel yam, you know, something's in, like I think an example would be a storm and something's blown out and whatever, and you find this thing, you keep it, and then the owner comes and says, okay, you know, I see that you have a very nice whatever furniture back there, you know, from you know that blew out of my backyard, that patio table, I want it back. He says, Zuto Shiyam, it's mine. So halachically, you're allowed to keep it, but legally, it's his. So do you have to give it back? Also, this is Ben Al Machaveh, right? Is he allowed to say, listen, Dina the Machusa Dina, it's Yush, we don't follow Yush in this country. So the Ramah says, you follow the Dina the Machusa Dina. Now, I don't understand. The problem with that is that I don't know, well, what's the Takanas B'nai Medina on that? They don't hold of Yush. They don't hold of Yush. But is there a Takanas B'nai Medina on that?
It was not Takana Main. That's why it belongs to the original owner.
Right. No, they never had a Shach V'Tari about Yush, not Yush. Just, it's his. But Maisa, you follow Dina D'Machusa in such an example. So there must as you do. So I was a little bothered by this example because I don't know what the Takanas B'nai Medina is on that. It's just that they hold that the Yashus is, that it goes back to the... It doesn't help the B'nai Medina one way more than the other. It's just that they hold the Yashus is, it should go back to the owner. And the Torah says, no, Yush is Yush. So by Geneva, maybe you could say such a thing, because by Geneva, it's going to get out of hand if people start stealing things, and you're total, you know, no one can ever get anything back. By the way, even though the owner can keep it, but Avada, he has recourse to get back his money.
The owner.
Yeah, the Gazlan has to pay. It's not like the Bilem lost out.
It's not a matter of...
You have to find the gun.
The Gazlan, it's a matter of the law would technically be to dissuade people from buying something that they know is stolen and saying, have a nice day, it's mine now. Legally, if you buy something you know is stolen, and then...
Meaning, because now the Ganav knows that I'll...
How could that not be Takanas B'nai Medina? Because it's Tiferes Yashas. Obviously, that's the benefit of society. Yeah.
Why is that the benefit of society? Maybe the benefit is to... Now this guy, like, you know, he told me a story that this guy buys a car or whatever from a used car shop. All of a sudden, next morning, 6 months later, it's towed. And what are you doing? Well, it was a stolen car. Sorry, the owner filed a report 6 months ago. We didn't find it till now, and now we located the car. And so he's out $15,000 on his new car. So why is that Yashas? I mean, you know. So Lemaisa, the
he's out $15,000 between him and the proper owner, but he has a possibility of a claim against the person who sold him the car. It's not like
that guy didn't move his car.
And the shop goes
on.
Right, but practically, he's out $15,000.
He's out the car.
Unless
right.
He can get
out the car right now.
Right. Right. So it's not so Lemaisa, by Geneva I could hear maybe it's Takanas Medina. By Zuto Shalyam, what's a Takanas Medina? Who cares? So Lemaisa, I found that the Ketzai Sechoshin, it's in the Rishon Lantes, says the following. He says it's Takanat in the Mechusadina straight. Just here it's different. Why? Because here even the Torah recognizes that Lefnim Meshuras Hadin, you should give it back after Yirsh. The Torah also recognizes that there's a certain reason why that the original owner should get it, and therefore any Beis Din at that time could go ahead and make such a takana. So we recognize the Yashus and the Lefnim Meshuras Hadin to give it back. So Zokter is B'chiyai Gavna that there's a Din of the Machusa enforcing that Yashus. So then we would follow the Lefnim Meshuras Hadin. That's what he said. But he says in a case. in a case where the person who lost it is wealthy and the person who found it is an ani, that there's no lefnim shuras hadin for the ani to give it back because he's a poor guy, he could use it. So there, Taka, he says you don't have to follow the din of the machusa either, because the din of the machusa in this case is reinforcing the lefnim shuras hadin that the Torah puts in. That's what the Ketzais writes. So Lamaisa, you see, I think he brings out this point. It's not just Stam that you go with the din of the machusa necessarily. You only go with the din of the machusa when there's a recognized Indian in halacha to follow such a psak.
But there's so many things that the Lefnim Mishra said in a chayev, and only the Ramon only says it's like Aveda. It doesn't say like every time of Rama or all these things that you have a.
Maybe because those places, Taka, there was no din in the Mahuz either.
But, well, so there would be, then you should be. Then...
Okay, in the chayev, I don't know where those places are, you know. I don't know, but.
Shavish was around, but there's no prescribed Lefnim Mishra.
Exactly, right. It doesn't say that anywhere.
There are a lot of things that are Lefnim Mishra.
Yeah. Well, if you're chayiv b'dei shamayim, so if you're chayiv b'dei shamayim, the Rama is saying, is the Ketzais is saying, is that where there's an inyan, even halachically to pay, so then if there's a law, so then you should talk, you have to, you know, follow the law between them. Again, we're talking about now that you didn't go to court or anything like that. We're just talking about between them, they're fighting. He's saying, look, legally it's like this, let's ask a lawyer. He says, I'm not going to ask a lawyer, I'm going to ask a Rav. So, b'chi agavna. That's what we're talking about. Now, this is all the way that we're learning the Rashba, based on the Ramah and based on the Ramah's understanding. The problem is that it leaves a very open-ended Lamaisa explanation, because every law you could argue, yeah, takanas medina, nish takanas medina, it's for a bunch of crooks, it's just for the lobbyists, it's just for the industry, it's not takanas medina, it's to help the rich, it's to help the poor. You could fight back and forth about every law, and therefore it's really. It's really not leaving it so clear. The Shach, which is on page 16 and 17 here, the Shach gives a totally different explanation to this Rashba, unlike the Ramah. Okay? And basically, if you look on page 16, on the second place where it's underlined, one line, it just summarizes this whole shita. There's a two-page Shach that we're going to learn one line of. The Shach basically says here that the point of the Rashba is the following. He says that Heich Nilmud Midine Goyim Lahakchish Dine Yisrael Chalila Lekvar Herach Rashba B'Tshuva Mevia Beisayisiv Be'echad Shenasa Isha B'Mokum Shadonin Dine Goyim She'en Abal Yer Shasishta Avvechulu She'af Alpikin Yer Shasishta V'Loishayich B'Zedin Mechusa Di'im Kein Akarta Kol Dine Atara Ashlema. That means that the Shach is saying what the Rashba's point was not yet Takanas Medina or versus Takanas Medina versus something which is not Takanas Medina, but rather the point of the Rashba was that you don't go with Dine to Mechusa when there's an explicit law in the Torah kenegdai. So if the Torah explicitly discusses this halacha and tells you what the halacha is, you don't go dina d'machusa kenegdai din Torah. But something which lav dafka, there's a clear din Torah about. Now, it's very hard to understand what that would mean, because the Chazon Ish asks, there is a din Torah about everything. The Chazon Ish, ki yadua, if you look in the Sifrei of the Chazon Ish, after every sugya, he basically says like every possible case that you could come out from in the sugya. This is the halacha that comes out from the sugya. So the Chazon Ish is saying is that, what do you mean there's no explicit din Torah on this? Every scenario, there's a din Torah about how to tie your shoelace. What do you mean there's no din Torah on it? But the Shach says if there's no din Torah on this inyan, so therefore you go with the din of Machusa. If there is a din Torah, you don't go with the din of Machusa. So you don't go with the din Torah connected you don't go with the din of the Machusa connected the din Torah. So according to the Shach, this whole inyan Takanas Medina, not Takanas Medina, is not the point.
You mean the Hanas HaMelech? You saying this? You say that?
Well, Hanas HaMelech is taxes, but Binam L'Chaver, right?
Oh,
Binam L'Chaver, you follow the Torah if there is a din Torah on it. If there's no din Torah, then you go with din of the Machusa.
No, but if there's a din Torah not to pay something that's Hanas HaMelech, then the Shach would agree.
Maybe. He's really handling Binam L'Chaver, right? But yeah. And then he ends up saying, is this what, so if I'm right, so therefore you don't go with the Takanas Medina if it's there's a Chomer and a Kula in the Shach. It comes out that if there's a Takan, if there's something which is, even if it's the Takanas Medina, but if it's against the din Torah, you wouldn't follow it. So let's say there was a Takanas Medina to Mechai, people let their animals go rampant, and people were eating everyone else's stuff in Rosh Hasharabim, and it was getting a big problem, and they made a Takanas Medina that we have to be Mechayim Shem Rosh Hasharabim. Their Shach would say, you're Potter. Because there's no Tinnakum, you don't go with Takanas Medina, you go with the Din Torah. So the Shach is saying that you follow Din Torah.
Only if it comes to Sabbath realm?
What?
It's only if the rule comes to Sabbath realm?
No, that's what we were saying, maybe what Takanas Medina means. Takanas Medina means it's a social, civil type of law to help people, whatever. But the Shach says you never follow Din Mechusa under any circumstances, even if it's Takanas Medina, if it's Keneged Din Torah. But if it's not Keneged Din Torah, then you could follow it even if it's not Takanas Medina. So that's where the Shach goes. So it's a little different perspective on the whole thing that we're talking about. You have to know if there's a specific Din Torah on this, okay? So the bottom line is, after the end of this first packet, we have over here basically three factors when you're cheshbening the dina de machusa. We're talking about now bin al machaveray. We're not even talking about, you know, paying taxes and like that. Three factors. One is, A, are they makpid or not? Which basically means if you're going to court, because normally you're allowed to do arbitration. No one's going to come in and say, oh, you know, you gotta follow the law. We're right here. We're discussing what to do. So normally we know hakpada until you go to court. Maybe after you go to court, it would be different.
But they the still second, make you arbitrate when you go to court. If they still give you the option to arbitrate when you
okay, fine. I'm saying if there's a clear psak already from the court, maybe that would be different. Okay. The second factor is it takanas b'nei medina? And the third factor is it connected in the din Torah? Those are the three factors when you're cheshbening, being al machaveroi. So we started speaking about an example last week of declaring bankruptcy. Now, Lamaisa, we're not going to be able to do justice to this topic for two reasons. First of all, because the law is very complicated, and like Mr. Jass was saying, each state is different, and each country for sure, and each state. So you have a tshuva from a rav in Switzerland, could have no relevance to us over here, because it could be that that it's done totally differently, and each state is different. So therefore, really, a bunch, you know, we talking about this here is not really going to do justice to the topic. Number one. Number two is that the Paiskim, I saw now, the Paiskim discussed that there's two other inyanim in the bankruptcy issue, which is, it could be there's a mechila, because the bankruptcy, what it does is that they collect all the creditors, all the people together, and they have to come to some sort of pshara or something like that to agree. So therefore, it could be that there's an unspoken mechila, there's a mechila, and therefore, maybe that's a factor, and the place can deal with that. I saw the Minchas Yitzchak says that the mechila is forced, and it's not a good mechila. Some say it is a good mechila, so it's not necessarily so clear. There's other factors in the bankruptcy issue besides Dina de Machusa. But let's say the mechila is not a good mechila, and there's no pshara, anything like that. Okay, the guy declares bankruptcy, and now you come and say, you know, you lend me $5,000. I lent you $5,000. A very nice to declare bankruptcy. That's for everyone else. But listen, in Chosh Mishpat, find me the sif that it talks about bankruptcy. Unless the Shemitah comes, you owe me the money. So can he go and be Toveim in a Bezdin after he declares bankruptcy? Or you say, Dina the Mechusa Dina. Listen, legally I already declared the bankruptcy and that's done. So, again, I'm not saying Lamaisa, because Lamaisa, every case is different. But what it would seem like is maybe it would depend on this. First of all, is it connected in Torah? The Din Torah doesn't recognize such a thing. Is it Takanas Medina? So Yesh Laden, if it's Takanas Medina or not. Now, Rabbi Kolodny was telling me he heard on a shir from a dayan in New York, and it seems like I saw this also, that maybe there's a distinction between a corporate bankruptcy and like an individual. Because corporate, and I saw this far in the Pesach Chayshon also, when you're lending money, you're giving money to an LLC, the whole entity is a legal entity. It doesn't exist anyway, halachically, really. You know, it's a legal entity. You're going in, al-das the soichim, you're doing business, and obviously you're doing business on the understanding that you're going to follow the business practice, right? So therefore, there's a kind of unspoken understanding that you're going to follow whatever the legal ramifications are of doing such a thing. So it could be that carries more weight. But on an individual basis, it could be that that wouldn't be the case. And therefore, just because a guy files bankruptcy doesn't mean necessarily you lost your personal tviya. So he was moisif that's pashut, that if it's not really bankruptcy, he's just doing shtick to make the bankruptcy, but really, it's not really a legal bankruptcy, so therefore, for sure, you wouldn't file a file. For example, so he said that this guy was in a case, so they wanted to draw up some documents and pull up some files or whatever it was, and to expedite the files, it would cost another $300 to expedite the files. So the guy says, so the judge says, you know, we're going to expedite the files or not. So he says, okay, we'll do it. So he said, the judge pipes up and says, $300. I thought you were declaring bankruptcy. Where are you getting the money to? Where are you getting the money to expedite the files? He says, no, I'm writing that out of my wife's checking account. So, b'chi agavna, V'chagavna l'maisa, that really it's not even the dina de machusa really of the what it's meant to be, and therefore if your person's this dying wanted to say that if it, the whole shayla wouldn't be nagay if it's not a real bankruptcy, there's no reason we would recognize that. You mevar that if all of a sudden 3 weeks later the guy moved into like you know
$1 million mansion.
Yeah. Oh, where was that? Well, you know, happened to be. I just put everything into there a month ago and then I declared bankruptcy. You know, or whatever. If it's a sticky case, it could be that it's not. Then halachically we wouldn't recognize that at all. Which.
I mean, but doesn't that fall under the guidelines of din d'machusa din lechem? Why? I mean, that if it legally can be done and that's the way it's done. It's not sticky, he's been mainly using the law to his advantage. How is that
stick? I'm just saying is that...
He has a good accountant and he saves a lot of money in taxes and if you come to loopholes, it's not sticky, he's just following the...
Saying, but that's not the, it's not the kavana of the law. So therefore, Lagabi didn't... Because we're
so
saying like that.
The kavana of the law.
No, I'm not saying... I'm saying, halachically, you owe the money. Yeah. Characters, you want to say, Dina de Machusa Dina, is that... Since it was made to help people to Kanas Medina, we have to follow it. It wasn't made to help you in this case. It wasn't the kavanah of the law. So you found a loophole. So I don't have to recognize that. They can recognize it in the government. But you're going to tell me I have to recognize the law because you found a loophole? I only have to recognize the law if that's the way the law was intended. That's the point. Lagabi, me and you, right? That's the idea. Vada, I'm not saying it's not really what it is. But I'm saying if that's not the intention of the law, I don't have to. Let you get away with that. Copy me. Now, one other case that's brought in all the poiskim is the case of rent control. So we discussed this last time. So rent control is a similar shaila. Both of us have, if you would go put this on the market, then you're limited by a whole bunch of laws. First of all, you can't kick the guy out. You can't raise the rent from year to year, et cetera, et cetera. So now I want to go find Dafka, a Jewish tenant, and I'm going to tell him, listen, there's no rent control in Shulchan Aruch, and therefore we're going to not abide by that particular law because it's between us. What does that have to do?
You get to shy of Ona, because if there's rent control with everybody else, now you get
to get more. No, there's not rent control with everyone else. Not every apartment is rent controlled. So you go by the market value. Right? Okay, so to go through that, I think it's Kedai, and this is going to be a good segue. This is going to be a good segue into the next topic in general of taxes, is that we're going to see a little bit the tshuva of Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was the Rav in New York, later in Toronto, I think, but he, at this time, Tavshin Yud Zayin, this was written, and he was there, and he writes a very interesting tshuva here about rent control, but he gives a lot of yisoides in Dina de Machus in general. Okay, now, to give a little bit of background, what he's going to say over here, and then we'll read it inside, is that he comes with a new perspective on Dina de Machusa, which a lot of people, which now looking around, seems like some people do say such a svara like this. And basically, what they say is that in a place like this, where you're not just, the purpose of the government is not to make the king rich, right? The purpose of the government, it wasn't just like a malchus, I'm the king, and you are my subject, you must follow my word, and that's it. Government in a democratic society is just representing the das of the people, supposedly. So you're voting in the people that you want, right? They're gonna follow. They're gonna do what they feel is gonna get them is the talus of the is the talus of the people, and therefore it could be that when there's a rabbin. They're representing the das of the rabbim. It's a very different set of law, a set of dina de machusa dina in such a scenario. But anyway, let's start with what he says. So I can't read the whole thing inside, but he says a very interesting thing in Dalet. So the first, it's in a smaller packet, and it's on the first page. It's on Dalet where there's an arrow. Now the tuvei ya'ir means that in the old shtetl there was a sense of a kehila. Kehila means there was one rav, one shaychet, one bezdin, and one minig. Okay, that's why you find such an emphasis on minig. If you went from Preshburg to Radin, so which minig do you follow? Which minig? I don't know. It's all ashken. It's all because everything was very, very. There was a small kehila, and there was a minig was clear, and you know that's what it was. So the tuvei ya'ir. Were the people who were assigned by the community, basically the local, the communal legislature, basically. And it was the communal group of people that would decide the takanas for the B'nai HaKihila. So he says, in a place where there is no Tuvei Ha'ir, so who's governing us? Who's telling us what's going to be the Tevas of the people? It's the government. You have to follow that because they're doing it for your benefit. And when a halacha comes, or a case comes to the dayanim, you have to follow the legal law, and it's like a takana made by Tuvei Ha'ir. Of a frat with Medina constitutional, he's saying, a constitutional government, shachukim nasim aydei nivchari ha'am, that it's made democratically by people that you chose, by Yehudim b'soichem, and you also voted, v'kinyonim ha'mo'ilu ma'pitakon ha'seim dinan k'din setumta. And even a kinyon that they establish has a din d'arais like a kinyon. So if the government says that it's considered, there's a change of ownership by a document, by whatever, that's legal, k'shenigi ha'davar l'inyanim yisurim, even k'michiras chometz. So you could follow a legal kinyan in Mechiras Chametz. Why? Because it's like the Tuvei Ha'ir. So this is his theory.
The opposite way also, they say that something's not a kinyan and you hold it is a kinyan. Does it also work the opposite?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe. Now, therefore, basically his theory is that anything which the Tuvei Ha'ir amongst our Kehila could establish, the government establishes such a thing, we have to follow it because it's b'makom the Tuvei Ha'ir. It's b'makom the people that are making the takanas of the kihila. So you go down to Ches on the next page. So he continues and he says, Anachnu Yoshvei Artos Abris de America, we live here in America, Shechokei Anasim Aydei Anivcharim Mikol HaEzrochim, all the citizens vote, Achar HaMasu Matun Shebeinayim, and they come out after they're finished talking, Shelot Tzedek Mishpat Nasim, they're doing it, to be Yashrazdik, Va'anu Beinenu Levein Atzmeinu, Ein Lanu Kehilos Mesudaros M'Tuvei Ha'ir V'Chaver. We don't have a kehila to say we're making our own takanos. Harei Achukim Shalahem, Heim Dina D'Malchus HaDina, Va'af Shalafam Ein Zal Pi HaShulchan Aruch. Im Heim Dinim Shetluim B'Minhagei Chukim HaMedina, Heim Heim HaMinig. It has a halacha of a minig that you have to follow it like the Tuvei Ha'ir. Uch Shabadav, again, Eitzal Dayani Yisrael Tzuchim Lifsak HaPi Chukayim. Chutz Medina Yerusha, except for Yerusha, she'enem tlunim b'minig. Why? So he says a very good thing. He says it's not better than the Tuvei Ha'ir. So anything which the Tuvei Ha'ir, anything that could be established, the Toivas Takihila, okay, and the government does that, we have to follow it. But it's something which even the Tuvei Ha'ir wouldn't be able to do, so the government can't do either. So if the Tuvei Ha'ir would get together and say, we want to change the halacha and make the Yerusha go to the daughters, they wouldn't be able to do that. It's connected to the Torah. And therefore, since the Tuvei Ha'ir can't do it, the government can't do it either. We don't have to follow government in that sense.
So this only applies to Minhagim.
Yeah, so anything which, what do you mean?
This only applies to Minhagim if you have halacha.
Yeah, so anything which, again, so similar to the Shach, anything which is the Din Torah, and the Tuvei Ha'ir wouldn't be able to change it, we don't have to follow the government on that. But anything which is Stamazai, that Ta'elas, the Medina, or and there's no Din Torah connected, then you have to follow it, because that's the Din al-Mahusa. Now, let's get to the rent control. So he says in Tess, Choy Kadirois, Shal HaMemshala Hu Yashar. So he says it's a good law. Mesukur makubal befrat ba'ar magdolis. It's a good thing. Ki hu mechuvah negen mafki yesharim. The point of it is against the people that raise the prices. Upoyishte oyreis aniyim. And they take off the skin off the back of the poor people. They're making the poor people pay what they can't afford. Va'ashal fam nir ka'ovel neged balabatim. She'enu mashirim. So you have a guy that's not wealthy. He's trying to make money. He has an apartment. He has to rent it. He has to move. So he wants to rent his apartment, make money, pay for his mortgage, and he can't do it. So it looks like it's not yashus. So he says, kein derech achoik. Shal fam nivga b'yoshev azinu basaruba. It might say it's a good law. But anyways, the warning is because if it's not a fair law, you don't have to follow it either. If it's like gezel, or if it's made for a different intention. But he says it's a fair law, and therefore you have to follow it, Dr. Rav Henkin. And that's his bottom line. So you see from him, he's going a very interesting mahalach here, okay? And he's saying that you go with the takana of the Medina, you go with the takana of the government as if it's Tuvei Ha'ir, and anything which is a fair law, you follow. Now look at the next page.
Doesn't the Shach bring stuff about Aniyim also, that it's more chomer? If it's helping Aniyim?
Yeah, well, he kind of says that. Look in your bays, on the next page in the Rav Henkin. So he says, Divrei HaShach, this is the Shach we spoke out, Shecholek al Ramah, b'inyanim shelo toivas ha-medina, delo ezinam b'zeh basa dina d'machusa. Right? The Shach says, you don't go with dina d'machusa when it's takanas medina, if it's connected to din Torah. Hu b'makim, that's only, sheyesh leisal kehilos miyuchados im tuvei ha'ir, nefchorim l'takeh in takanas shalem. Aval poi b'medina l'shach zeh, u'pashut d'chukei ha-medina, him tzuchim liyos ner l'hadayanim shel Yisrael, k'shavadin l'vneim, that the dayanim have to know the dinei ha-medina when they're paskin. So this is a very far-reaching tshuva from Rav Henkin, which is basically saying that you go with the, unless, you know, it's mamash like Yerusha, that you can't make a minag on that. You can't make a minag on a takana on that. But short of that, you have to follow the chukei medina. This is what Rav Henkin said. Now, okay, so that would leave us that pretty much anything, which is, unless you know that the din Torah is not like that, and it's a fair law, you would pretty much have to follow. If it's connected, you know, if it's
marriage,
if it's
those,
what
marriage, called the kinyanim of women and so on and so forth, and kinyanim of
no, that's isur. Well, I mean,
it's also follow the same thing, right? You can't go according to Medina because it's the entire.
Oh, right. Now it's very interesting. If you look, there's another angle on this in the Igros Moshe. What all those things? Divorce. How do you? Well, divorce is very negay also. I mean, because we say everything goes back to the husband and you pay him 200 zuz, and now it's like the opposite. So lemaisa, it's also very negay. But again, you can do more mostly arbitrate. You know, in a chanami, wouldn't Isha have a right to be teveya? You know, keneged in Besdin in court. Can I get the ksuva? It's not, you know, again, you have to know, I'm not getting involved in that, but it's not so partial.
His intention is to bring this to Beis Din, but rule that it can, according to the law.
Yeah. He said, does the Beis Din enforce this? Because it's a Jewish, we're mechuyev to follow it, because Din the Mechus Adina. Now, Ramosha over here, just interesting to read it. So Ramosha, it's mamash written in Tafshin Yadzayin, this tshuva. So it's written at the same time as Rav Henkin's tshuva. Apparently, this is a hot topic. So he writes over here, he says, we'll read the first paragraph because it's interesting. We're talking about this topic. So he says like this, the shy love of the rank control. He says, Masheherech kvay terasai b'inyan dina de mechusa kasha lichtei b'inyanim elu. So I'm not writing anything about dina de mechusa. Mishnei taimim, for two reasons. Chodem itam shakasa b'shuta heishiv moisha shehevik svador sheish mevucha rabba b'in apoiskim. It's very complicated. Fisteris, rabbi svetorkel ze iyun v'zman rav. Ula yazar Hashem lohavin lasuki shmaitza. Lekotan erech kamoini. So first of all, which is a pretty bad excuse, but he says, I can't figure, I don't have time, it's a hard sugya, so I'm not, to get involved in it is very complicated. Which Ramosh got involved in much more complicated things than this. But I think the Iker thing is the next thing. He says, If I'm going to write down in a printed tshuva that you don't have to follow the law, it's not going to look good, basically. We have to, I don't want people to get...
censoring his own stuff?
Basically, he's saying like I don't want to get off the wrong impression that people just don't have to follow the law. So he says he's not writing a printed tshuva about Dina de Machusa because of that.
But that's what he wants to write.
But it sounds like he would. Yeah,